Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment!
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So it's the Whip Around.
Sure you're ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
Because summer is here, listeners. Officially. Pools starting to open. Kids starting to scurry around out there, outside of their safe schools. Am I right, Dave?
If it ever stops raining.
That's right. And then comes the damned heat. The heat, the heat, the heat. And it's summer blockbuster movie season. Am I right?
Yeah, got my tickets.
All right. And when I think of Happy Dave, blockbuster movies, heat, and little whippersnappers running around, I think, and I bet you do too, of Gabe and Ryan of the Sex and Violence podcast and Top Gallant Radio. And they are here in studio with us.
Who?
Ryan, Gabe, say hello.
Welcome, guys.
What?
Hello.
Hi. I was lured in here by Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, I was promised a Zima.
Yeah, what?
Oh, we're getting
with
tackled.
A Jolly Rancher dropped in it. I know how you like
we're
it,
getting
Ryan.
Tackled to catch a podcast reference.
No,
right
no, I'm here to meet Sally. She's mine.
Gabriel, yeah, Gabriel, why don't you take a seat?
Okay, right, but I'm supposed to meet. Okay. Hi, guys.
Hello.
What's up? This is off to a very auspicious start. I believe it is the first pederasty reference on the show. And what better way to do it than to promise justice, which, again, having these guys in the studio makes me believe in justice all over again.
I mean, we're working on that show, Pederasty and Justice.
I'm staring blankly. I'm sorry.
You
walk that path alone, sir.
The sister podcast, Sex and Violence. And
oh my God, we're on a watch list.
I know. It already happened. And we're in a basement, which does not make it better.
Oh, shit.
So you guys are now, this is appearance two.
Well,
three
your
for
third,
me, two for Ryan.
Second for me.
True. And I think we've had a fairly decent number of exchanges with your show.
Yes, indeed.
Especially
two or three.
MVP with Dr. Philip LaPorta.
Yes, indeed.
Who has been on a number of shows. I don't want to go too far too fast, but is it all right to even tease? There will be more cooperative efforts between the Whip Around and Sex and Violence in the future.
Oh, yes.
There absolutely will be.
Sir Dave and Madam Jill have been approached about maybe doing a My Grody Valentine.
For sure.
And Dave whipped out a movie just in conversation that I've never heard of in my life. So that could be
a
lot of fun.
I've seen the poster. I know that much.
What's it called?
Yeah, Pool Hall Junkies.
All right.
It's a movie about
shooting pool.
No,
bowling,
shooting pool.
Okay.
Yeah. And hustling. And
I like it.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing that. I know I look forward to hearing that. There's something about any situation that promises an introspective Dave DiOrio that I'm automatically
right.
in. And I'm hoping it like really gets at some deep-seated stuff that just starts churning up.
We're going to get emotional.
Yeah,
we'll get emotional for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. You know, the more I mine out of the talk, the better. It's always like, so tell me all about you and Pool Hall Junkies.
I remember when I did Near Dark, I was like, yeah, and that's who I was at that point in my life. And I was like, wow, I'm going on an emotional rabbit hole here all by myself. Just like
nailed it.
It was like, and I was a lonely child. And
yeah.
So you might as well just lay on a leather couch when you
don't worry, we'll talk about the Virginia Beach bar scene and
yeah,
we'll
not
get into
that.
All that.
Let's not do
no,
anywhere
that
where
great.
I overlapped into that.
Yeah.
Let me transition into safer waters for everybody involved and just open the floor here. Gabe, Ryan, how is the brand? How is Top Gallant Radio doing? How is Sex and Violence doing? You guys seem to be steaming along quite well. Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. Everything's going, moving on upwards always. Always new and more subscribers every month. We're hitting like nice gentlemen, like 1,000 subscribers. So
sure.
Things are going great.
I have noticed on the show, too, you guys have been doing a great deal. I don't know if this has always been the case. I feel like it's happening more often now. There's a lot of, like, film history creeping into some of these episodes. More and more now, where I'm like, I wasn't aware of that. Techniques are coming up. A lot of, like, background on some of the styles are coming up. So I don't know, for anybody who's listening to the Whip Around, it's not just sex. It's not just violence. It's learning.
It's both, truly.
It's an introspective journey.
Exactly. We try to look back to revel in the film of cinema.
And all things surrounding it.
True.
I think he's right. We have gotten a couple cool, like, behind-the-scenes stories.
It has happened. That's what I'm saying. So what is there anything that we can say that's new coming up, or any particular episode that you're like, hey, if anyone hasn't dipped in yet, check this thing out that we did recently?
Well, for those who actually are there for the punk rock element, we finally did Sid and Nancy, one we've been, like, threatening to do for a long time. Ryan and I loved that movie. Yeah, we bonded over it. We have My Grody's coming up, of course. And I think in a couple – next episode – it's going to be Bram Stoker's Dracula for a sex pic, because that movie's all porny and wonderful. It's all Gary Oldman in like Eastern European accent trying to seduce Winona Ryder, doing a passable British accent.
I've crossed oceans of time to find you.
But Keanu, man.
Keanu's British accent's like the worst fucking thing in the world.
Do you know what sticks out to me?
Do you believe he comes from Westminster Abbey?
Do you know what line sticks in my head about that movie, though? It's what's her face? It's Lucy. Lord and Lady Homewood. For some reason, that terrible moment.
I was so
Lord and Lady Homewood.
Yeah, she's supposed to be super lusty, Lucy. And I ended up writing a huge 15-page paper on how Dracula is subtext for how Bram Stoker was gay. But I got an A in that class, so hey.
Well, I think if you call anybody Jesus or gay in sort of a college level theater or film school, you're treading into some A territory, if you can carry it off. I think it means Victorian, so the repression is all over the place, right? So, everyone is stuffed into...
It works for the Oscars, right? So why wouldn't it work for, a senior thesis? Right?
Exactly.
Call me by your name.
Gabe, let me transition just to you for a second here. Now, I have heard, given that I listen to your podcast regularly, that you've been on this show before.
Thanks,
there was talk about a California journey. Is it still? Because you're still here and we're lucky to have you.
I'm still here.
I'm hearing it is still happening. And people who are local to the Bethlehem area might actually get to see you in a familiar haunt soon. So what exactly is going on in your regional life and your locale, and where can we maybe see you in person?
So, ladies and gentlemen, I happened to make that classic error of quitting my well-paying job before I got my car fixed. So you're getting your car fixed before a cross-country drive will cost anywhere between $700 and $1,000. And if you're like me and you don't plan very well, that's like a third of your savings. And then you buy a laptop, and then that's another third of your savings. And then you're left with a grand, which goes right to car payments and phone bills and having nice dinners because you have no self-control and you hate yourself. Besides that, I'm still in the area. The plan is to move in October. It's been pushed severely. Apparently, rent is cheapest in California in November. So I am going to be returning this weekend to the bookstore Speakeasy, my old haunt, the best bar in Pennsylvania, if I may be very honest. I really generally think that's true.
I concur with that.
I'll be rejoining Ryan for reuniting the Dream Team. It's going to be
wonderful. Reunite, man. It's going to be awesome.
It's selfish of me, but I'm thrilled about that. I know that there's the whole dream in your life and all that, but selfishly, the fact that you'll be located at a bar that I really want to start going to more.
And then if you want, I'll probably be at Red Robin afterwards.
And then my daughter will be glad with that. She can watch Daddy get day drunk at Red Robin or whatever it's going to be.
Bottomless fries, man. Bottomless fries.
Yeah. And she and I will talk about the Terror of Trigon.
Is that a Teen Titans Go reference?
I'm a Teen Titans acolyte.
Yo, that's amazing. That's awesome.
No, I love Teen Titans. I go way back to them.
I think I hated every show to some level that she watched until she really got into Teen Titans.
See, the father run of somebody?
Titans, of Raven.
Of Raven, that's right. Yeah.
The original run of regular Teen Titans, totally great.
Yeah, man.
Very genuine.
Very, very cool. Now, can I bat this to the other side?
Pivot.
Ryan.
Yes.
Again, from being a listener, I'm aware of a smorgasbord of news that has happened for you lately. Can you sort of bring us into...
Sure.
There has been bartending news.
Yeah.
There has been other... I don't even want to tip my hand to it.
Okay.
Ryan, start at your birth.
First off, there was a comet at some point.
Dark and stormy night.
Three men followed it.
Mm-hmm. And then Jesus explosion.
I'm about to get an A.
Your good friend.
Lots of frankincense.
Here comes Ryan's A. That's right.
Career-wise for me, everything's picking up really nicely. I am one of the bartenders at the bookstore Speakeasy, and I just did a My first cocktail competition for Copper and Kings. They make brandy, absinthe, gin, a whole bunch of stuff. So I competed in the semifinals for the Philadelphia region. And I ended up getting second place. Pretty good. I was very happy with it. For my first time up. Yeah.
Everyone there who was there for him was angry for him.
Yeah.
The word on the street is that there was some pull for, like, I think he should have probably won that.
No, you know, there's a way to lose, and that is graciously. Mm-hmm. And I think that the young lady who won, I wish her nothing but the best, and I hope she goes and wins it all.
Absolutely.
And I truly hope that. If I would have won, I would hope everyone to feel the same way. But, hey, she won. That's how it goes, fair and square. Go to Kentucky and kick ass. That's what you got
to
do.
The rest of us are like, whatever.
I was going to say. He's like a good guy, so we don't have to. Ryan is like Jesus right now. I get an A, too. That's another A.
No, I did have an angry crowd because I had like 30 people I brought down to Philly with me. So there's just this giant angry mob. And when it's like second place, it's like, you got robbed. I'm like, guys, simmer down. And they've been drinking on top of it.
That was dear, wonderful Neil. Everyone was very, very restrained. And then, of course, friend of the show, Neil Himesoff, just shouts, bullshit!
Yeah. Yeah, he does that.
Dear Neil.
Yeah, dear boy. Especially when you pour liquor on top of him.
Yeah.
Now, there is a whole other side to this
The other side. The other thing is, and I teased this a little bit on our show, Sex and Violence, but a couple months ago I bought a food truck, and that's getting ready to open. So my food truck name is Brogies.
Spell it, Ryan.
B-R-O-G-I-E apostrophe S. A bunch of bros making pierogies. We're doing traditional Pennsylvania Dutch style food. Focus on pierogies. Got some other like sandwiches and like freshly made drinks and all that kind of fun stuff. But I just brought over pierogies for you guys to sample, and they seem to go over pretty well. So I'm happy with my first test market.
There are definitely none left. They were delicious.
My wife sneaked one and like pulled me over to say, like, this is the best pierogi I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, they were.
She was very like, look, I don't want to make a big scene here, but this is the best pierogi I've ever had in my life.
Best kind of compliment.
Yeah,
they were buttery.
They did very well.
Buttery and unhealthy.
Outside. Yeah, they were just great.
The man's got the touch, which is an interesting bit of synergy. With where we were just recently on our show, because we were talking food trucks with Bridget Carey, who was there. Now, here is a man living the dream. In fact, I say living, but it's about to happen. When can we start looking
about
for this?
2-3 weeks, we'll be actually open and selling. And then I'll be around all summer, most of the fall, until it starts getting bitterly cold out. And then you can find me at farmers markets, that kind of thing.
Selling
the product.
Cool.
Now, I know you have to burst this bubble for me, but I just want to let you know, Ryan, that I'm sitting here with this idea in my head that you're like an ice cream truck. You know how they have the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that you're going to have like polka music playing as you guys drive through.
It's funny you should say that, because the truck actually used to be an ice cream truck, and it does have the old like sound
on
the top.
Got to get some old Jolly Joe Timmer broadcast and just
kinda,
push it through.
I wasn't going to do that, but now I'm thinking I might.
Come on.
The original idea was just to play like all the music that me and my two partners like, and that's like, you know, cool punk rock, 80s pop and stuff like that. Yeah,
which is also cool, but maybe just sometimes
we'll open up with a polka song.
Or not just like Goldie Wilson for mayor.
That's right. Mayor Goldie Wilson.
What I'd like to do.
Brogies, cleaning up this town's drunks.
I've envisioned myself as kind of like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Twister, essentially, just driving around chasing tornadoes, playing cool music.
And those tornadoes are drunken college kids.
Exactly.
I absolutely adore that mental image.
Because all they do is spin and wreck shit.
So how about this? Keep your eye out. Starting in we'll maybe put something
mid-June.
Our...
Yeah.
Okay, so mid-June we'll have something up. We'll link to something here. So now what I would like to do, now that we've got pierogies in our bellies, there's a little bit of booze in the air.
Some sex and violence in our blood.
Some sex and violence just in our veins. It is time to cut through all of that and spike this even more with a exciting time crunch edition
of What Made Dave Angry This Week!
So what is, Dave?
So here's the thing that's really getting me twisted this week. Not like twisted college kids, but twisted like in anger is, I don't know, people kind of tooting their own horn a little too much. But in a way that's, I don't know, really kind of highfalutin.
Yeah, Ryan.
Uh-oh.
Like,
sorry.
I think the only place you should really pump yourself up like that is in a job interview, okay? Outside of that, you know, just be chill. Let other people do the bragging for you. And there's two phrases that really got me upset this week. So the first one, I was listening to a podcast, and a woman called herself a history buff. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? You watched, like, Mysteries at the Museum 5 times this week, and now you're, like, a history buff? Should we go with you with the historical questions that need to be answered? And the other one, which may be appropriate for this episode, is I'm a foodie. I'm a real foodie. I'm a real foodie. You ate at an Emeril Lagasse restaurant 2 weeks ago, and now you're a foodie? You're some sort of food expert? Like, people should all go to you for recommendations for restaurants around town because you consider yourself a foodie? Let other people call you a foodie or a history buff or a gearhead or whatever little moniker you want to put on yourself to make yourself seem more important than you actually are. So that's what's got me angry this week.
He's in a gearhead. First of all, I'm a foodie, I'm a history buff, and I can smell a kind of gearhead. I just like that. Just imagining those coming together. But that's you know what? You got a point.
You're a member of a wine club, so now you're like a connoisseur.
Well, the one that's
you're just
got
a wino.
Me, the one that's got me on that, Dave, is this idea of the history buff. Because I do wonder what would make one, aside from saying, like, well, I have a history degree or, like, you know, I'm the curator of a museum. It is sort of like saying, like, I really like what happened before. You know, like, I like stories about what happened.
Listen, I know everybody's father-in-law, like, falls asleep watching, you know, World War II documentaries on the History Channel. But
sure.
Doesn't make you a history buff.
No, I dig it. These sound like things that you don't say about yourself. They may be true, but it's like giving yourself a nickname. You never give yourself a nickname.
Agreed.
You say something like, oh, like I would never say, I'm a film buff. That's weird. I'd say, oh, I love movies. I really love movies. I'm a filmmaker. This is what I do. I'm obsessed with it. And then someone can go, Gabe's a real film buff. And then it's my job then to say, I don't know about that. It's playing a modesty game.
Well, sort of have a little humility.
It's the empty can rattling the most, probably. Like, have you ever noticed, for example, that no one who is genuinely cynical, no one will say, yeah, I'm kind of a cynic. No.
You're actually
an optimist who's bummed out.
Yeah.
Because if you were really a cynic, you wouldn't think of it that way. You wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you're asking for attention, but
right.
I'm a cynic.
So someone,
yeah.
I'm sorry to go back to it, Dave. But if someone's like, I'm a real gearhead, it's like, I don't know how you could possibly, that's obviously
what
not true.
What's the gearhead voice you're doing? What is that?
I don't know. I just feel like that would be the opposite of
Kermit.
It is. Like, you know, hello, I'm fixing up a go-kart.
It's like Kermit slides out from, like, under a car. Like, yeah,
I don't think you really blew out your O-ring here.
I think you need to be super, like, dyed in the wool, unimpeachably that thing to say it. Like, I'm a real gearhead. It's like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I rebuild Indian motorcycles along with some original Bonnevilles by myself, by my bare hands. It's pretty cool.
But or, like, your profession's a mechanic.
Fair enough.
Right, but by the time you're there, you're not even thinking in terms of, I'm going to label myself that. It does scream of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Dave really is exhibiting here is that is smelling blood in the water of insecurity. Me like, fuck that. I'm going to eat you up. By the way.
Show some class.
Burn it.
Dave, would you... do you consider yourself...
a foodie.
A little bit of a foodie, or a history buff, or a gear.
Yeah. I wouldn't consider myself any of those.
What's the highest level of praise you'd give yourself for something you care about? Would you say you're a super fan? Is that okay of something? Like
I would just say kind of like what you said. I really like baseball.
I mean,
I wouldn't be like, I'm a seam head.
Which is that a thing?
That is a thing.
I am the Phillies fanatic.
A seam head.
Yeah, because the baseball seams.
Seam. Is that an actual term?
It is.
That's not nice.
I feel like
because
all these people you mentioned are just people who talk
Frankenstein
too
was
much.
A seam head.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really what
do.
It is. Like,
like
when
us.
He, when he spread,
yeah,
like,
well, on a podcast. Right?
History buff or foodie, it's just someone who's like wants to correct you constantly as a superiority.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know what? Actually, Napoleon actually died in this year from this. Or, oh, you know what? That dish would actually go better with the beurre blanc sauce. Can you shut up?
See, I'm open enough with myself to say I'm a pedant, but it's not that I'm a word head. It's I'm kind of a jerk. That's all.
See?
You just say you're kind of a jerk. So
you laid brick.
Right. So maybe if any of these people are like,
I'm kind of a dick. Like the only one that I think, the only one that I think is sort of acceptable is like beer snob. Because it is like,
well, it's a, there's
that
a negative
bad. Yeah.
Self-recognizing.
There's a negative connotation with it, like saying like I'm a grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
See, I don't do that. I would not do that.
So you're automatically going negative with it.
So okay,
I think
I think we've gotten that out of our system.
I agree, Dave.
If you can just make like the Kermit voice, like
I'm a dick. I'm a real dick.
That was the best part of that.
Hey, you know what? In fact, what it went from the pieces Dave got us, we can actually say, like, oh, I'm not a gear. I'm more of a dickhead. That being said, this has been a clarifying, stultifying,
purifying,
emulsifying,
superfying, super fine edition of
What Made Dave Angry This Week? I got to do it by myself.
You did. I backed off for you. I never do that. That's high praise from me.
You like playing with things.
So we're going to do a quick break. When we return, we have got plenty of movie stuff to talk about with our cinephiles that are here.
Ew.
Oh!
I won't say. I really like movies. We'll be right back.
We'll be there. Piggy, I sure do like movies.
About movies. So yes, don't go far. It's going to be fun. We got summer blockbusters to talk about and a killer game ahead. You'll see. God damn it.
Waka waka waka. Hey, Ryan Snyder, co-host of Sex and Violence.
Hi, Gabriel Mara, also the co-host of Sex and Violence.
I feel like I don't know, like, anything. Is there, like, I've heard this called a podcast?
A podcast?
A podcast?
Things, like, where they talk about whatever they want to talk about, talking about the topics that are just interesting to me during the week.
Did you just read my damn mind?
I think I did.
No way.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Do you know of a podcast?
I do. This?
No, you don't.
It's called The Whip Around, man.
The what?
The Whip Around.
The Fox News show?
No.
Okay, good.
It's The Whip Around. It's just fun, and they talk about everything, and it's very beautiful
to my ears.
Ryan,
I need to know about things like science. Is there a guy on there that does science?
There is. Dr. Phil LaPorta talks about science.
Rad. What if I care about media and feminist issues? Isn't there our dear friend Jill Yapsuga?
Yeah, she's on it.
Nailed it. What if I want some pure, unbridled anger about the world today?
Dave!
Dave the Oreo?
Yeah, it's him!
Angry Dave?
Yeah, actually, he is pretty angry.
Love it. And what if I need pure charisma
and a beautiful voice?
Pure silken voice leading the way.
Mr. Sean Hayes? Sean Hayes!
I'm in. Where do we find this thing?
I would go to iTunes.
What about Stitcher?
And Stitcher.
What about Google Plus?
Maybe Google Plus. They probably have that. I'd listen to it, I'd enjoy it, and I would leave a 5-star review so other like-minded people like myself could find it, and it could get across to all the ears and out of the Fox News.
5 stars. I love it. I'm going to do it because I don't care about America.
It's an American vote. You should listen to this show unless you're a communist. Well, and if you're a communist, you should listen to this show too.
I dig that. Cool. Ryan, good job.
Good job.
Let's go fly off on our hang gliders.
High five.
Bam!
We have returned, and it's all sunshine and lollipops.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Dave.
As always. Hey. Who is this guy? Hello, Gabe. Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
Gabe's like hyper super friendly guy.
Yeah, that's me.
And Ryan's way more like the
stoic,
the ninja in the back of the group. That you're like, that's still one.
Ryan's dad and mom.
That's going to be dangerous. Yeah. Well, there's that. Sure. Or dad and mom. I like the still ninja. Still ninjas run deep, Dave.
But there's no...
Surprised you didn't know that.
I'm kind of bummed now how much I like that.
That, I've heard, I get that a lot. Gabe.
Yeah.
Lord willing and the ninja don't rise.
So I have been looking at movie news because I knew that we were going to have the chance to talk to some movie types here today. I won't put any other appellations on you that will earn Dave's ire.
You can say it. We can't.
So I've got to ask this, though, everybody. Did Han shit first?
Ooh.
Huh? I'm motherfucking proud of that. I'm going to say it again. Did Han shit first? Screen Rant, I don't know what our opinions are about that, but that's yet another sort of one publication of many turning this critical eye towards Solo's box office returns. It said here, the film grossed just $83.3 million in the domestic box office opening weekend, only $65 million only, I wish, at the overseas box office. There are reports the second weekend has seen a drop of 77%. Steeper even than the divisive main series entry, The Last Jedi, which I'm sure we could do a whole episode just talking Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. But
they go on to say it looks as though the movie's total gross will fail to match the opening weekend of Force Awakens. Whether or not that's a surprise is debatable. However, they go on to say there's simply no way to spin these numbers as positives, given extensive reshoots. Solo will probably fail to break even in the box office. Now, they and others have gone on to talk about, you know, reshoots and reschedules being part of that tapestry, but a number of reasons why maybe Solo, as a box office, you know, humdinger, a blockbuster type movie. You know, there's been this idea that there was lazy or inactive marketing. Essentially, Disney and Lucasfilm, if you want to call it that anymore, sort of. I always wanted to hear Lucasfilm. I think of Yoda with like Mickey Mouse's hand up his puppet ass. Like, but you know, they sort of do one movie at a time. It was like Last Jedi, Last Jedi, Last Jedi. Okay, is that gone? Okay, there's a solo movie. Whereas with, you know, Marvel, for example, it's like, we've got this one, we've got that new movie coming out. There are other properties. We're going to tease this one coming out. In the movie, there are teases for other ones. You know, so there was a different marketing strategy. They had Infinity War, Deadpool 2 coming out, and then out comes Solo in this saturated market. Maybe there's that. Whatever it is. It seems obvious, though, that money-wise, a franchise gem, what otherwise might have been considered a surefire moneymaker summer blockbuster movie is stumbling, and it's just not what we're used to seeing and hearing. So I'd like to talk about that term. Dave agrees with me. We kind of want to unpack the summer blockbuster concept. So again, Gabe, Ryan, you're both avowed cinephiles. What is your take, first of all, on the very concept, the idea of summer blockbusters? You guys, you have some deep movie knowledge and opinions about a lot of different stuff. Are you fans of that, whatever, subgenre, the summer blockbuster? Are you fans? Were you fans?
I was a fan of them. I'm a fan of summer blockbusters of years past. But ever since, I think, like mid-90s, there started to be this kind of like, it needs to have a more mass appeal to get the most money possible out of it. And the quality of blockbusters has been in a like steep decline, in my opinion, since then. I'm a noted detractor of films from the 90s. But like, if you look back, like 70s and 80s films, the movie that arguably started the summer blockbuster like trend, Jaws.
Jaws.
It's hard for me to find a movie that beats that in terms of quality and rewatchability, and it's a movie that's like 40 years old at this point. I don't want to go back and rewatch Independence Day quite as much as I want to go back and rewatch Jaws.
You're saying Bill Pullman is not as compelling
as a shark you don't
Magnum
see
opus.
Until the third act?
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will make that argument.
Let me ask this real fast, just a simple kind of thing, Gabe. I think the answer is yes. You a fan of the summer blockbuster genre? Doesn't mean like to the exclusion of anything else, but you like
these. And have we defined what that is yet?
That's what I'm about to want to do.
I love summer blockbusters.
So what are they to you? That's where I was headed with this. What a summer blockbuster movie doth make?
To me, a summer blockbuster is something completely accessible, fun, with no necessary information, that any stranger can walk into a theater on a hot summer day, enjoy the AC, and love a movie.
Everyone's a stranger to someone, Gabe. Everyone's a stranger to someone. You said any stranger can walk in. I just like this idea of like somebody in like a duster.
Oh, exactly.
Sort of walks in a movie.
A man
like,
in a long coat.
Yeah.
No, I think that a summer blockbuster is meant to please everyone. And I think that the biggest difference between me before entering film school and afterwards is that I had a professor who taught me that you don't need to be Wong Kar-wai all the time. There's nothing inherently better about being art house. Just because you're unpopular and niche doesn't mean you're better. That someone like Edgar Wright, before Baby Driver, fuck that movie.
Dude, don't bring that up.
Edgar Wright is someone who manages to...
I like that movie.
Been a whole thing done on that movie on their show. We'll have to do this another episode.
No, I have to listen to this.
This will start like an hour long. I'm thinking about it. No, you can have it all. And I think... But you have to be that good. And I think the best summer blockbusters are the ones that tell complete stories that are enchanting to strangers, children, adults, everyone, and snobs. If you can tell a good blockbuster that pleases everyone, then you've nailed it. You are the best there is. That's what you should be aiming for.
So, all right, Ryan, what's a blockbuster? What is a summer blockbuster?
I think it's something that is a mass appeal to the most amount of people to gain the most amount of money, because most people, like children are off during the summer. What's the easiest way to entertain your kids for 2.5 to 3 hours?
Vodka.
Let's take them to the movies.
Oh.
Yeah, wrong. And you need to be able to have something that is going to appeal to children of any age, or like maybe a PG-13 kind of thing. If you're a high school student and you want to spend your $15 to go in and see a movie, it's a mass appeal kind of thing. And this is where I'll kind of disagree with you a little bit. Like, most of my favorite movies...
He's looking at Gabe, not me. He's not disagreeing.
Do not...
Normally, Ryan and I are sitting across from each other talking.
Yeah. Normally, the movies I like the most don't come out between May and like August, September, because they like, maybe it's my like latent hipsterness left over where
Let
I don't
go,
like
Ryan.
I don't like the mass appeal things. I like more of the niche feeling of things. The one thing that like bugged me more recently was the Deadpool 2, where I went and saw the first Deadpool movie, and like being a fan of that character for years, I was like, cool, this is mine. This is a very niche character. Finally got his own movie. It's a cool movie. Now we see the second one, and I was worried. From the start, like a week or two before the movie came out, I was driving from my apartment to the like gas station right by me, 7-Eleven. And outside the 7-Eleven and inside the 7-Eleven, there's Deadpool shit everywhere. So it's now it's like,
big property now.
Yeah. So now it's a big property. It's a mass appeal thing. Going to the movie theater and it's, you know, for lack of a better term, like jockey looking dudes coming in and be like, you know, when I was in high school, you were the guys who were like making fun of me for reading comic books and reading Star Wars Extended Universe novels in my study hall. Mm-hmm. And now these things are like such big things that they're accessible to everybody. It's like it's hard to find a niche market for yourself. So having such a big 3-4 month span for these big blockbuster movies where it's like welcome with open arms, like everybody come give me a hug.
What?
And
let
I don't
go.
Like no.
But if they're true
better.
To, but if they're true to the Deadpool character, which I mean, are they?
They are.
No.
I think
no.
Well, that, I don't want to swim up that
I've
particular
also,
stream
I've
yet.
I've never cared about him.
Dave, I'm going to move this over because we got to keep this moving. Yeah. Alas, there's only so much time in a day. Dave, you mentioned something earlier that I think.
Right, we're kind of circling that runway.
Yeah,
here.
This idea about what a blockbuster is or who decides, right?
Right, so maybe it's a chicken or the egg type of thing. So do the fans determine what a summer blockbuster is, or are we now at the point where the movie studios are dictating, this is now the summer blockbuster,
right,
you
almost
must see.
In the same way that a cult movie used to be just something that happened.
Right, it organically
and,
became a
right,
blockbuster.
Right, but we all watched
Jaws.
Snakes on a Plane happen, where it was clear that it was like, here is your cult movie, and it didn't go that well that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on this idea that like who is actually deciding what the blockbuster is? But
Dave, can I ask you, what's your favorite summer blockbuster?
My favorite summer blockbuster is actually The Rock.
Awesome.
Okay.
Solid, solid choice.
Like we should make this a roundabout.
Yeah.
It's had the star power in it. It had, you know, the explosions, the excitement you want from a summer movie.
You'll do your best.
I loved it.
That's so good.
Should we go around and just make sure this is said? Just so that we're all on the
whip
same.
Around?
We're going to whip around on the.
I'm unfamiliar.
Oh, I meant to say earlier, you said whippersnappers. Should be whippersnapper rounds?
Whippersnapper round?
That just sounds so.
Old timey.
No, dirty.
I like it.
To the Charleston. It's whippersnapper round.
But all right, so Dave's got The Rock. Can we just keep moving around? Like, what are our favorite summer blockbuster movies? So.
I'm still going to stand by Jaws, I think.
Okay. All right.
I think that's, like, the epitome of a movie that you watch, like, all summer long. Like when I was growing up, my cousins and I, who are very close with, they had like a outdoor pool, and the rule is like the kids can't be inside playing video games or anything like that until sun goes down. So be outside all day, and then we come inside, and every single day over the summer it was Jaws.
Okay. All right.
So I still stand by Jaws. I think it's perfect in every shape, way, and form.
Gabe, favorite summer blockbuster?
Not to be all film school about it, but the one I land on is Toy Story 3.
No way, you don't have to excuse that. No way.
No, I think Toy Story 3 builds up on the first, like, two perfectly. And it has one of the all-time great scenes in cinema history, in my opinion, especially for being a kid's film. But that furnace scene, that's, you never see...
Hands joined,
yeah,
right?
You never see a Hollywood film stare death in the face without making jokes about it.
Certainly not in a popcorn.
No, absolutely not.
Level
not in the
movie,
summer film.
Right?
That's the perfect example for a popcorn, the most possible popcorn film. Also throwing in something there to throw in deep hurt, deep anger, deep mortality and fear into a Hollywood story. You can do it. And I blame the studios for not investing more thought into it. Sean.
Mine is Alien. And there was a time, way back when, with Jaws and with Alien, that horror was a very real element, a real possibility with summer blockbusters. In fact, there have been arguments that actually The Godfather was the first summer blockbuster, just in terms of what was invested, what was put into it, how much it made, how many theaters it was in, stuff like that. But it wasn't quite as popcorn as Jaws was. But even Godfather had elements of fear and tension in that movie. So for me, Alien was this, like, look, here is a really solid, really brave, really well-done movie that's going to make you feel things. Maybe similar to the Toy Story 3 idea, that it's like, look, where do you get this? That was so widely available. Now, obviously, it kicked off a bunch of other stuff. But the fact that it was, I don't know what's going on here. There was this whole different angle, this whole different feel to, and in a good way, that there are other bits and other offerings and exciting here. And, you know, I don't know, thrill rides there and kids getting sad over there. But this horror element meant a lot.
Will we ever have that organic blockbuster again, or is it all just going to be franchise, like this part five?
I think
this
there's
part
possibilities
six.
To make it better every time. I think that, like, really, guys, see Solo. Walk in without not walk in knowing it's not Harrison Ford, and treat him like you would treat any character, and it's so charming and wonderful.
Yeah, but that kind of dodges the question a little bit, I would say.
I, you know,
because
I
it is
that.
Built in, it is plugged in as a Star Wars movie already.
Well, again, Rogue One that had the best part
again,
about
a
Rogue
Star
One,
Wars movie.
The best Rogue part about
One,
Rogue One
wasn't
was
and it wasn't a summer block.
They fucking
summer,
killed everyone afterwards.
Sure. But again, this idea that something on its own merits rises up. But is
there
even room in the market?
There's
for
very
that?
Few of them. I mean, most of them that come out, like you said, are like very franchised, this part five, this part eight. And then over the summer, we get a rare, maybe something that's like an adaptation of something. Like, I'll hit upon both your points of like the horror genre. Horror genre, I think, is actually coming back in summer blockbusters. Given with like the Conjuring movies over the past couple of years, and then
really
building
good.
Upon the adaptation, the It movie that just came out, and that came out in September of last year, late August, early September, and it was a wild success, and it was scary. Back in like the times you're talking about, like late 1970s, early 80s, and through most of the 80s, you had a lot of the summer blockbusters were actually more in the horror genre.
Well, I think
not a lot, but enough of them were like in that kind of like
there
at
were
least
more
sci-fi.
Then.
There were
sure.
more,
yeah.
But as far as like are they franchises? They're either franchises, adaptations, or a vehicle for like the next It person. And then you get two or three sprinkled in throughout the summer that are actually like really cool underground hits. One of my favorite from last year that really went under the radar came out in July of last year with Charlize Theron. Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
And that was
I still haven't
that
seen
was
that.
Badass. And you know what? That was a really cool summer movie.
It was bold and it wasn't perfect, but those action sequences are
oh my
fucking
God.
Outstanding.
It's going like I'm happy. I'm a little upset that it didn't do better at the box office, but I'm happy that there was I at least see like one or two a year that are going to go down as like a cult movie, which is kind of the thing that I like more than anything else.
Agreed.
And Atomic Blonde is going to go down as like one of the cult movies of this decade.
Which is still interesting
it's
that it's
really,
not a blockbuster, though.
They
huh?
want to make a sequel out of it. And it
no,
made
but
enough
I mean,
money to do
well,
it. But
to
like,
your point that it's like it's too not, bad it didn't do better because it feeds, I think, into Dave's
but, and
question.
And it's also me being totally contrarian because if it did really well, I'd be sitting here bitching how it did
right.
well.
No, but that's, a,
you
that's,
hipster.
An, that's
yeah,
an ability. That's an ability for you to separate your own desires yeah. from what you kind of wish for this property, right? So it sort of missed that chance to be a blockbuster, but to Dave's point, arguably it should have been, right? That it was all there. That it actually leads into something I wanted to ask next, which is, now I'm going to say aside from Atomic Blonde, and I'd like to hear from everybody about my answer is I don't know, okay? So fair warning, my answer to this is I'm not sure. I struggle to think of a genuinely groundbreaking summer blockbuster. And I think we could all – I think it's intuitive why you probably don't see it all over the place. The investment, the studios that are doing it, the sure bet nature of the money they want to make back. Can you think of – and let's not say like the first ones, but can you think of anything recently that is a groundbreaking in some way summer blockbuster, which obviously by its design would be – an extremely brave maneuver.
Brave on whose part? The studio?
You know what? Secondarily, yes. So on the filmmaker's part, but also the studio in saying, you know what? Go ahead, because we all know that a filmmaker might try something, and then in comes Disney, again, shoving its hand wherever it has to be like, change that.
Edgar Wright.
We don't like... Thank you.
I have a two-prong on that. It's that I feel that, not to go back to Solo, Solo should have been a November release. That would have made much more sense. Like, your Doctor Strange, that was a summer movie that didn't trust to do that well in the summer and crushed it in November. Solo should have been a November release. But along that same circle, The World's End, the last film in Edgar Wright's in a Cornetto trilogy, summer film. Absolutely a summer film, and it's my favorite of that trilogy. That, despite Baby Driver, sorry, Dave, Edgar Wright's still everything I love about filmmaking. That and World's End is a story about a suicidal alcoholic who wants to have a last hurrah off his friends while space aliens come destroy his world. That's nonsense. No one would buy into that movie unless they bought into Edgar Wright to begin with.
And was that a summer block? Was that, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a summer. I think it was a summer seller, and it definitely came out like in like May.
No, it was like, I thought it was like more of a July, August. It was like an August release.
It was summer.
But it was clearly
it was summer.
It was a summer. It was meant to sell.
In the rules here.
In New York, there were ads all over the place for it. And, you know, it was meant to make money, and it definitely recouped. And I think it's a fantastic, bold, horrifically dark film that hits so many emotional true beats. If more movies were like it, I think that would only be better for the economy for filmmaking.
I think Scott Pilgrim's like the same way.
Was that summer? That was summer.
That was a summer release. And it came out 2010.
That's a good one.
Summer.
I was dating a stripper at the time. I was seeing it while she was I was waiting for her to get out of work.
Stop the show. We've got some follow up.
This was the first movie I saw in theaters with my wife. And my wife and I are like big, like love going to the movies together. And like my friends had went to go see it like without me, and I was like so stoked on it. And then like a week later, she was like, I'll buy us tickets and take you. And it's like, it's our movie. One of the gentlemen who designed the
Tyler
poster
Martis.
For us, Tyler Martis.
Yeah, local
the Warriors
artist,
poster. He
Tyler
actually
Martis.
Designed a custom Scott Pilgrim Martist. One for us for a wedding gift. And I think that's one of the movie, that's the same thing. Like,
bold.
It's bold. R-rated comic book movie that has, like, really hyper-visual and has a lot of really cool, it's just super
also
cool.
Also makes fun of vegans.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
how to take the time to make fun of vegans.
I don't know how to else describe it, but it's, like, just a super cool movie, and it's super bold and different and weird and goofy.
That was an amazing gamble, and if it had paid off, the world would be a better place.
Yeah.
I think not quite.
But it was
Expendables 2 beat the hell out of it in box office.
You know, and that's
aha, you see, and there's the dynamic.
Ridiculous.
Here comes the juggernaut to kind of cut the ceiling down.
Yeah.
So, Dave, can you think of anything different than that? Have they covered the ground that's going to get covered with that question?
Yeah, I think so. The way I look at it is the summer slot is like prime time for a network studio. So it's like you don't really want to throw out too many gambles because there's so much opportunity to make money there.
Let's play it safe and make a couple mil.
I mean, that's kind of how
I
think about it.
It's business. Yeah. Anyone who thinks it's not business is wrong.
Just put your money-making franchise out there. And
the summertime is no room for artistic creativity.
Which is interesting, you know, given where it came from, given where Godfather,
Jaws,
Alien,
that
and
was
some
a
others.
Long shot you know, when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, even and how close we all know about the what's the sharks at Bruce, right?
Bruce.
How
Bruce.
The Bruce piece was not doing what they needed it to do.
That's
why the
miracle.
Character of, in Mallrats, Brody's last name is Bruce because
Bruce.
Of the
that's
movie
right.
Jaws.
Isn't that the name of the shark in Finding Nemo?
There is one, yeah.
Yes.
That's the main one. Bruce. Yeah.
Is that a thing I missed?
Fish
is that an Easter egg?
That is a bit of an Easter egg. Yeah, the biggest shark
Hot
there.
Damn.
That's right. And the one that we see go nuts.
Man, Finding Nemo is so great. All right.
It's layered like an onion. An onion for kids.
I like Dory more, to be honest.
What about Parfait?
I do, too. Finding Dory is actually significantly better, I think. And not just because it has Sigourney Weaver's voice in it.
Love her so much.
All right, so now, Dave. Are there any movies that you feel like if I could, I wish I could take this movie that opened at a different time of year and just give it its chance, sort of release it into the summer blockbuster season, you know, have the studio dump all this money into like, no, we're doing this again in a friendly way. They market it well. We're doing this again. We're bringing it out with all the guns blazing that we want you to come and see this. What would you choose based on I think it would do well? I think it deserves the attention, and I think that if you just give it a little space, this movie would be an even bigger success than it was. You see what I'm saying about that? Is there
so
somebody?
What could we polish up? Give it a little.
Give it the Super Mario Star treatment and let it blast through the competition. Give it a chance.
Oh, please say Super Mario Brothers.
I don't know. I need to think about it. I gotta think.
Should we come back to you?
Yeah, I don't know. I would need to think.
So either Ryan or Gabe, can you think of something you're like?
I'm going
if we could
to
clear
push
the...
this from Ryan okay. before he takes it from me. All right. Going
can't
back...
be a summer movie already, right? It has to be.
Oh, it has to be a not. Oh shit. Well, I don't know.
Well, all right, fine. Never mind.
Open the floodgates.
Yeah, sure. Let's just do it. Even if it was summer, that's something that gets the full blown blockbuster treatment that you think would take to the soil.
Oh,
well.
You know what? I have the perfect answer.
Okay.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
That was the.
That's what you took from me.
Yeah,
oh, heaven.
Yes.
I was going to say that. I swoon.
That was
at
the
answer.
Movie that the world should have embraced because it embraces like martial arts cinema, Asian cinema, and it's Kurt Russell at his absolute best.
Fucking A, man.
And you know what?
No horseshit.
It just didn't hit at the right time, and the studio didn't believe in it, so it didn't happen. It should have happened. And it would have been
real
amazing.
Angst there. I agree with you.
It would have opened. You know, I not to get political at all about real shit.
Hey, Desi.
But I'm currently producing a small segment for a Asian American podcast, and a lot of it, the people who are talking to me about it are interested in how I became a film school person because I didn't have enough faith in myself to be an actor. I decided to become a filmmaker and a writer and director because there's no place for Asians in American Hollywood. There's just not. So
I think we've shown that it's actively they take it away from a lot of Asian American actors
very quickly. So
ancient one.
I think it would have been a wonderful, wonderful thing. Like every single person in Big Trouble Little China is a fucking star. That guy's like, hey, come to the office.
Well, even
no
down to the Lady James Ninjas.
Hong.
Hey!
That movie is my heart. If every copy of that movie got deleted from the world, I'd die.
Yeah.
That's a powerful answer. And
man, Ryan has it tattooed on him.
Yeah.
He does. Now, Ryan, was that a literal stolen answer?
I was actually going to say because I was like, he stole something. I knew he was going to steal something. And I was like, okay, Big Trouble in Little China.
Is there another one you can... Okay.
I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, written and directed by Shane Black, should have gotten that treatment. I think it could have started its own trilogy. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I think, could have been like a lethal weapon for like the early aughts. And it didn't find its audience quite as well. It came out in 2004, I believe. And this was right before Robert Downey Jr. blew up as like Iron Man. But like him and Val Kilmer in that movie are so super cool. Instead of playing off like the racial dynamic, they go a totally different way. And like you do a gay man and a straight man. One is on one side of the law. The other is a criminal. So you play it off that kind of like almost like 40 hours vibe. And it's, I don't know, it's just awesome. Like, you really do need to see it. It's got some of the best snappy, quick dialogue in a movie in the last 20 years.
Don't believe the trailer. The trailer mishandles all the best lines.
Given its chance, you would argue, give this the full-blown blockbuster treatment,
I would love to see it.
Flourish.
I would have loved to seen a sequel and that done in, like, 2007.
I mean, it's Iron Man 3, basically. It's what he got to do
to build up for it. I still like Iron Man.
Dude, I love Iron Man
3. I know, but I don't think Shane Black should be working in the confines of major blockbusters.
He made his own, and RDJ
that's why I'm upset about like him doing Predator.
I think if there's
any
director who would give RDJ a chance to just fuck around, it was him.
Yeah, and that's why Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is awesome, because he was just like, go.
See, I think I'm answering the question a little bit differently. I want to take 2004's The Alamo, which I hated. but I think it had the star power. It's got the right kind of concept to make a great summer blockbuster. You could make a blockbuster about the Alamo. Come on. How did they fuck that movie up?
Yeah, 4th of July weekend.
Seriously.
Davy Crockett?
Can't miss. All
right. So now that was something that came out.
It came out in April of 2004. So
close, but
it wasn't like
there,
a summer movie.
And just didn't get.
And it wasn't good. It just needed to be fixed.
All right. Now, we still have a whole other element that we need to get to.
Okay.
And I do feel like through this deep analysis of movies, it's clear there's only one graceful way to transition out. Still some differences of opinion about the movies. But can we play a game?
Let's play a game.
Dave,
game,
you ready?
Game.
All right.
Game,
now,
game, game.
As I'm sure has been made clear, Ryan and Gabe know their movies and have strong opinions about their movies. They know this stuff, especially like summer blockbusters we've seen here today. They know them forwards and backwards. Or do they? I would say it's obvious that they know them forwards, but do they know these movies backwards? And that's what we aim to find out in a game that Dave has helpfully titled
Bust the Blocks.
Bust the Blocks!
Okay.
I'm
intrigued.
Now, the rules of this game are very simple. It is going to be a buzz-in speed round kind of game.
Oh, exciting.
So before each of you, you see an option. I feel like it's like Clue. Before each of you is a lethal ring-in weapon. So the first person to ring in gets the point on each one of the rounds you're about to hear. Now, let's just hear the ring in. So we have Ryan. That is Ryan's ring in. Gabe, something a little more traditional. So when you recognize the movie being talked about, gentlemen, the first person to ring in and give the correct answer will win the point. Now, if you ring in and you get it wrong, no points that round. It is fully the other person's game to complete listening to the prompt. So what's going to happen is we, Dave and I, are going to take turns reading our interpretation of a real...
Oops, sorry.
I am correct.
Correct.
Of a real summer blockbuster if the plot went completely backwards. Sometimes what you'll be hearing is a simplified version of the entire plot, the entire movie. Sometimes it'll be just sort of an ending or iconic scene that's going backwards, okay? Person with the most points at the end of, I think it's, what, nine rounds, I think?
Like it's an odd number.
Will win bragging rights and
no ties
our eternal praise. No, we won't have it. We won't have it! So, okay, if I said...
Should we ring in?
Yeah, give it a shot. Hopefully nobody misses this, all right? But if I said it opens with a cop and a scientist paddling toward a bloody mess of a shipwreck, soon after which a ship rises from the waters as terrifying chunks of meat assemble themselves into a massive shark, Ryan would say...
Jaws.
Correct. So are we ready to play? Hopefully this gets this starts easy and maybe gets a little more difficult as we go. Dave, am I doing...
You're going first. Yeah,
round one? Okay, so it'll go me, then Dave, then me, then Dave. All right, here we go. Round one. A messy group of guys summon a grumpy Eastern European model-looking demon to put a major city back together, then scrape themselves clean and build a massive piece of candy that fixes even more of that metropolis. Gabe?
Ghostbusters.
It is Ghostbusters.
How'd you steal that from me? I have that tattoo.
I had gargoyles turn into human friends. Character everyone likes gives a speech about cats and dogs getting divorced before the cleaner guy's equipment launches all the ghosts over the city until the EPA comes and puts everything right again. Ghostbusters.
This is like so discombobulated.
Well played. So that is Gabe with 1 point.
He's going to dominate me.
I'll do the tally here. And now Dave.
Mine are of a bit of a different style. So
yes.
Okay. The General's Mercy gets a big thumbs down. The Tigers go back underground. He leashes hell.
One more time, please.
Let's do it again.
The General's Mercy gets a big thumbs down. The Tigers go back underground. He leashes hell.
The Rock?
No.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
So these are all
with a free guess.
Are these all just general summer blockbusters?
Yeah,
summer blockbuster. That's a pretty big one.
Gladiator?
You got
yes,
it.
Yes, it is Gladiator.
Oh, boy. So my clues are a little bit of a different style.
So you gotta stay sharp as we move into round two. We've got Gabe 2, Ryan 0.
And they're going to get a little bit harder.
And they're going to increase the difficulty level here. Or so we think. Who knows? I never know with these games. I think I'm going easy and no one gets it.
I'm
going hard and everyone's like, no problem. Round two. A grungy cop and his wife get out of a limo and she promptly punches a reporter. Immediately after which, an overweight... I think we heard... Who do we hear first, Dave?
I think it was Gabe, actually.
Okay, Gabe?
Con Air.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. Now, Ryan, you can either wait to hear some more of the clue, or you can attempt to answer now.
I think I know.
All right. An overweight cop saves the life of a German assassin who then stumbles into a burning building. A British actor playing another German bad guy leaps to the top of a skyscraper, and the cop puts his wife's watch back on for her. The cop sucks a bullet right out of the German villain, laughs, and backs away. And all the while, the bottoms of his feet are slowly healing.
Die Hard.
That is correct. All right. Ryan arrives with Die Hard.
Can you look exactly at Sean when he said that? That is a perfect stone cold waiting to launch on you.
Die Hard, you son of a bitch.
I heard an airplane.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
All right. The banner is raised as everyone climbs to safety. The kids let the beast out of the fridge. The boy jumps up and over the fence. The lawyer is placed gently on the toilet.
We've got Ryan buzzing in.
Jurassic Park.
Correct.
Yes!
The last clue was scientists inject blood back into the bugs.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
I'm a known Jurassic Park hater.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, it has not served you yet, but in this game, it has not served you except to get you into a tie. Let's see who pulls ahead in round three. A quiet hero steps out of a crowd as the people watch their water being sucked out of the ground. The quiet hero steals blood from a one-armed woman, and then Ryan.
Mad Max Fury Road.
That is correct.
God,
remainder
damn.
Of the clue.
Well done.
Group survive in a tumbling car to climb into a massive 18-wheeler and back it through the desert while it fixes itself thanks to hordes of friendly post-apocalyptic gang members.
Nice.
Well done, Ryan.
One of my favorite summer blockbusters in recent years.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. The captain sneaks back onto the ship just in time. The cable guy cures the enemy. Hero drags the enemy across the desert back to his ship. The symbol of the nation is assembled. Neil Armstrong's footprints are vibrated into existence.
I'm going to take a guess. Independence Day?
Yep, you got it.
That is correct.
Oh.
Yep.
Ryan 4.
Ryan Gabe 2. In the lead.
Okay, we are moving into round 4. Gabe, there's still a chance. Still a chance.
Right. I'm here.
Still a chance here.
I want to win it.
Here we go. Round 4. A very tired doctor is released into danger by a federal marshal whom the doctor then chases all over the place. Gabe.
The Fugitive.
That is correct.
Very nice.
Now, I want to read the rest of this because I'm very proud of this clue.
Sorry, Sean.
No, it's fine. The tired doctor then takes back a lot of angry comments at a former colleague about prescription drug testing. We watch across a series of tense mouse and cat chases as the doctor goes running from the truth and toward the marshal and a shadowy killer. The tired doctor remembers bits and pieces of the night his wife came back to life and even jumps up a drainage pipe waterfall, whereupon the federal marshal remarks, "I don't care."
Wouldn't be I care so much?
No, I wanted to say I don't care. And I'll do my own reversing and unreversing. All right, Dave.
All right, this is my last one.
Oh, man.
You ready?
Oh, no.
Okay. The hero returns to the ceremony after being joined by a magician in battle. The hero regains his confidence before taking his part in killing a fowl. Everyone puts on their shirts before whacking their balls.
Gabe.
300?
No.
Damn it.
Okay, last.
That's interesting. I like the fact once you know what it is, that guess is going to get even funnier. That's good.
The last two clues. The lady appreciates the hero's serenade. The men shoot down. Attempt to shoot down the only cougar in the area.
Can you read it one more time, like all the way through?
Sure. The hero returns to the ceremony after being joined by a magician in a battle. The hero regains his confidence before taking his part in killing a fowl. Everyone puts on their shirts before whacking their balls. The lady appreciates the hero's serenade. The men attempt to shoot down the only cougar in the area.
Caddyshack?
All right, now that's incorrect. Now should we let Gabe, just for
yeah,
pride's
yeah, yeah.
sake.
Sure.
I want to say Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Now, I want to say the best clue we had here, let's put it back into forward motion, right? Okay. The balls, Dave, what was it, the way you said it?
Oh, the men, what did I say? everyone puts on their shirts before whacking their balls.
So, oh, Top Gun!
There you go. There it is. The infamous Air Force training video about how to play oiled volleyball.
Lots of fun with, what is it, call names in there.
Oh. That's right. Yeah. A lot of call signs made that
Sarah,
one difficult.
But
we're not
do that.
We're okay.
Yeah, yep. Sorry. I let it go.
Round 5.
Round 5.
Whew. The camera sweeps in on a game of marbles, only to reveal that within one marble is our entire galaxy.
Men in Black.
That is correct.
I knew it too.
I'll read you the end of this clue because of how happy I was. The older agent is vomited out by a cockroach and then puts on a human skin that looks a lot like Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. Just wanted to get that out there.
Nice.
So, Ryan, congratulations. You are the first ever winner of what, Dave?
Bust a Block.
Bust a Block!
I would play this again. This is actually fun.
It's our first time ever doing anything like this. I'm glad to hear it. I do want to play this again. This was fun.
Yeah.
We shall see. We hope everyone has been enjoying so far. There's only one piece left. We're going to go to break now and come back with Three for the Road in Act 3. We'll be back with Ryan and Gabe from Sex and Violence.
Love it.
Hey.
Damn right.
Welcome to Whip Around Phone. For Instagram information, press 1. For Twitter information, press 2. For Facebook, press 3. Email thewhiparound@gmail.com, press 4. Or visit our website, thewhiparoundpodcast.com, or press 5. Thank you. Have a great day.
We're back. Act 3.
Flowers for Algernon.
The Whipper... What?
The Whipper...
We're back with the Whip Around. Sadly, everybody has missed a Flowers for Algernon reference. What was the movie that
I
you wouldn't
say
Charlie?
I missed it.
Charlie.
Right? Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
And an Office Space reference. But we are back. Act 3. What's left? It's 3 for the road. But we are still joined by Ryan and Gabe.
Hello.
Hello.
Top Gallant Radio... sort of down one branch level to Sex and Violence.
Sex plus violence or sex ampersand violence, whatever works best for you.
And we're going to be touching base with them again right before we go off air. And thank you guys for still being with us and all
thanks
the,
for having us.
We're so even happy during to be here.
Even during the breaks, I just want to let everybody know, like, deep movie analysis continued with these guys. So be sure to check out Sex and Violence. If it's on iTunes, right, it's Sex Plus Violence.
Yep, Sex Plus Symbol Violence.
On Stitcher, it's Sex and Violence. Ampersand and or the and. And guys, we're so happy to be in your show. We're
yeah,
fans
you.
Of your show. It's so much fun. We listen regularly, and we're just so pleased to be here.
And we want you on ours, too.
Well, yes. Hey, we're there. Let
we
us
can
know.
Do the long form.
There you go.
So less restrictive. Our show is so tangent heavy.
Well, yeah. It's sort of like the, I wish I could go play. I want to play like they play. But we can't because we're mean. So what we're going to do again, don't fret. We're going to touch base once again to remind everybody of the many places, the many ways you can be closer to, bond with, nestle up against, if only it's metaphorically speaking, Gabe and Ryan.
That's me.
Before we get there, it is time for Three for the Road, that part where we cover the things that we didn't have time to talk about during the show, didn't fit in with the theme of the show. We will have 3 chances apiece, 30 seconds each, to be talking about whatever it is we want. 30 seconds is up. We will hear a sound that sounds a little bit like this. And that's Ryan on the bell.
Yeah, I would have totally flubbed it.
That's
like
right. That is Ryan on the bell. You can tell because it wasn't a fucking foobar situation. And Gabe has been kind enough to time us. So we'll probably be giving very little latitude before that bell comes in. So we're going to have to be extra quick.
Cut you the fuck off.
So, Dave, I believe you had mentioned you're going first.
Yeah, I'll go first.
So whenever you are ready, whenever you are set, Dave, whenever you are go.
All right. So Amazon is bringing Lord of the Rings to a television set near you. They made a $250 million bid last year to get the rights to it, and they have a 5-season, $1 billion budget, making it the most expensive television show of all time. Sir Ian McKellen is not signed on yet, and why? Because he said they haven't asked him yet. So fucking ask him! It's Ian McKellen as Gandalf! Do it!
All right, time to spare. In the gods must be, the computer gods must be crazy news. Art science writer Janelle Shane has a piece on her Tumblr page now, all about the strange otherworldly laziness AI programs use when faced with problems by their human programmers. It turns out artificial life doesn't like doing boring shit all day either, so they find weird workarounds that might kill a bunch of us one day. Shane's article highlights just how alien artificial life is, given that it lacks any natural values about life playing fair or something as petty as not being fucking lazy, and doing capital murder to get out of work. A program tasked with sorting a massive bunch of numbers, for instance, just deleted all the numbers, and hey, now they're not sorted. They're fine.
So politics in America, it's kind of a downer. Mm-hmm. So you may want to go back in time a little bit to when politics was a little sunnier. I'm consuming two pieces of media that take you back to 2008. One is a podcast called Making Obama. It's a six-episode series from WBEZ. You may know them from This American Life. The other is an HBO documentary called John McCain for Who the Bell Tolls. Both are excellent.
Oh, wow. How ironic. Bell tolls, right? Mm-hmm. Can't get enough murderous artificial intelligence slacker news? Well, me neither. Another AI program was tasked with landing a plane on an aircraft carrier, but instead, the AI program figured out that going too far was actually more effective. It managed to get a perfect result by crashing the simulated aircraft directly into the aircraft carrier with tremendous maximum force, which would overflow the program's memory, I'm quoting, and would register instead as a very small force. So the pilot would die, but hey, perfect score. End quote.
All right, the NBA Finals are going on, and the Golden State Warriors are halfway through sweeping the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Sports ball.
So, of course, everyone on Facebook and sports radio is debating, is LeBron James better than Michael Jordan? Guys, chill out. You're never going to find out the answer to it. You're right. You're wrong. Who gives a shit? But I will say right now, athletes today will probably always dominate athletes from yesteryear because we keep pushing the envelope.
Okay. All right. I'll end mine on a happier note. In a separate post, Janelle Shane revealed the results of loading a neural network program loaded up with thousands of ice cream flavors that was also allowed to extrapolate related and complementary words to the data set of flavors. Just so we all know, artificial intelligence recommends the following flavors of ice cream that it made up itself. Bloody chunk, death bean, goat cookie, mucky, goo creamy turd, dime oil, and blood sundae. So when the robot overlords give us our oh-so-infrequent pleasure breaks, we shall ingest only the best flavors, fellow humans. A cup of dime oil to y'all.
I like death bean.
I love dime oil. What's dime oil?
I don't know, man. But it wasn't even it wasn't enough to do creamy turd. It was goo creamy turd.
Awesome. Yeah. The robots.
The robot overlords know their ice cream.
I saw Genesis.
Which is interesting that I think if you look, you can actually see that Death by Chocolate must have been in there somewhere, right? And like maybe like Blood Orange. But I don't know. Where did turds come from? Was it like brownie chunks? Was it like, I know what you mean.
You want to eat poop.
Dime oil just sounds like the best, like most random shitty cover of Fast and the Furious.
That sounds
like
drug related.
Dime oil.
I thought maybe.
Yo, let me get some of that dime oil.
I thought it would be like a brand of like the like tattoo. Like tattoo lubricant. Oh, they're like, yo, man, if you're really chill, you get the dime oil on there. Like, oh, that's pretty expensive. It smells like hemp, though. I like it. So, yes, what a successful, fun whip around it has been.
A good time was had by all.
And showcasing how little Dave and I know about movies compared to these upper echelon
word
powerhouses of movie.
We're cinephiles. Thank you very much.
Right? These not dickheads at all.
I'm
not a dick.
I went to film school.
That's real, actually. I did.
It shows. I mean, in a good way. Like, I think you have a lot of humility about it, both of you, with your knowledge and understanding, but we're learning a lot here.
Yeah, I've only seen some Kubricks.
Like, unfortunately, no one could see the sort of a jazz hand thing.
Yeah, I know.
Some
fingers. I Fosse'd it.
So why don't you guys tell us before we head off air here, where can people see you? Where can they find you in terms of podcasts, beverage consumption, mobile food stations, and what have
yes.
you?
Yes.
I got half of that. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to Sex and Violence, your weekly punk rock movie podcast, where Ryan Snyder and I discuss sexy, grody, violent cult films today and yesterday. It's always a fun time. We frequently have guests, especially guests from the Whip Around.
Gonna happen.
Favorite people, our favorite podcast around.
Gonna happen.
Also, please listen to Slow Readers, where Daniel William Reichel and I discuss literature. Only literature ever. Nothing ever besides literature. It's so streamlined. But it's a great time. Check them both out on Stitcher and on iTunes. Follow us, review us. Please give us all of your love. We need your reviews and your love. Thank you.
All right, you can find me on the Instagram at Tango Like Cash. Soon to be, the Brogy's food truck will be all over the Lehigh Valley and some of the areas around that, local farmers markets.
Excellent pierogies, I'm telling you. Fucking telling you.
If you're looking for some actual custom orders for yourself, just get at me on Instagram. Send me one of those, like, messages, things that people do, and say, I want some rogies, and I'll hit you with a price. Other than that, you can find me at the Bookstore Speakeasy every Friday and Saturday night, slinging gin and endorsing sin. Come on in, and we'll talk about whatever you want, and I'll get you schwasted, I guess.
I can vouch for that.
Schwasted?
On a anniversary trip to the bookstore that my wife and I took. Things were fun immediately and got fuzzy fun very quickly. It was a great time. Ryan took good care of us.
There's a couple off-menu drinks I like to make, and one of them is the Neapolitan rum drink, which is I just throw a whole bunch of rum in a giant cup and then a little bit of fruit juice, and it tastes not like there's a lot of rum in it.
Magical.
But, and it progressively, even on the way home, is still working on you. Like, that was really fun. That place was fucking great! So, yes, thank you both for being on the show. Definitely do check them out
on
various social media.
Thank you for having us, guys. We love being here.
Well, you'll be back soon, I hope.
Yeah.
Because movie news comes all the time.
Cheers.
And we understand very little of it as it comes out. So we will bid goodbye for now.
For now.
To Gabe and to Ryan. Dave.
Bye.
I will say goodbye to you as well. And to all of you out there, we love you. Bye.
It's the best we ever did it, guys.
Keep on trucking.
I love you.
Still ninjas run deep, Dave.
But there's no...
Surprised you didn't know that.
I'm kind of bummed now how much I like that.
That I've heard, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Lord willing, and the ninja don't rise.